someone else can see it. You should just look in the mirror, some of your own expressions sometimes. And I'm in the church I got saved into. You didn't put your hands up and you didn't clap because that was the flesh. They loved Jesus. They were tongue-talking people. But if you lifted up your hands or clapped or tapped your feet, that was a sure sign you'd gone into the flesh. Because your flesh was now, I don't know how they got there, but they got there. Now, I'm saying all this to say that your means of worshiping is sometimes different to others. But because we're all familiar with each other, we are used to those mannerisms and manifestations and the way we do it. But if you put yourself in another situation, it would be weird. Are you with me? Who found Chris a little bit strange tonight? He did. That's because the general norm is not worshiping that with those like mannerisms. So because I know Chris and I know he just loves Jesus passionately and he's just sold out 100% lock, stock and barrel, I just go, more power to him. If you're dancing in a Catholic church in South America one day, remember my words. More power to you. More power to you. I would say, just out of wisdom and kind of trying to build bridges, sometimes it might just be a good thing to stand towards the back while you're dancing. In the same way, there must be freedom to express yourself completely in any way you want to. My only suggestion would be that it's not in the front and central where it becomes the center of focus and attention. For the sake of those poor Roman Catholics who have never danced in their life. I have to be understanding to these dear old ladies in their 90s and 100s who could get heart palpitations. And someone calls for an ambulance because one of them dies. But before they get to her, they wheel up 9 other dead people. Before they get to her. Because the place is dead. Did you get it? Did you get that? It's like subtle, like the nuance. You know, be. So I'm saying all that to say that we shouldn't be taken off our focus and our worship because of freedom of others. But our freedom, we must use in a wise way that's not distracting to others. Is that fair? Is that loving? Amen. And I can use Chris because I know him and I know his love for Jesus. And I know he's as hard as a rock in terms of he's not all sensitive and, you know, easy to offend. So, but I'm using that as an example to all of us. Mrs. Wheeler, I'm so glad that you're preaching tonight. Can we take up the offering? Nita Campbell's getting nervous over there. Does everyone know Nita? She's one of our office staff ladies. And single. And there's Jade. Does everyone know Jade? Jade, stand up. Does everyone know Jade? Jade, are you coming to help take up the offering? Oh, Jade, you're supposed to be up in the front. Jade looks after the children in the church. She's quite new. So if you don't know her, she is just more than life. She just loves Jesus. It's such a tonic being at the office. I just hear all these little prayer meetings going on all day. And Jade's right there in the middle of them. So she just loves Jesus, and so does Nita. And so does Teresa. Everyone knows Teresa, eh? She's our Highway Christian Church Izzy. She's just learning to play the keyboards. And that's her husband over there. He's my bodyguard, so just watch out, okay? I can say what I like in this church because he'll look after me. Him and Chris. And never mind Trevor. I can see I should have preached tonight. Jenny, babe. Let's take up the offering. And my wife, let's put a round of applause together for darling Janet as she comes up. Let me just say, tonight, Thursday night, tonight, Sunday night, next Sunday night, but what's happening in 3 Sunday nights time? But there's no evening service. So just remember,
3 Sundays from tonight is the Grace and Glory weekend, but there's no Sunday night. Anyone seen any of the posters? Raise your hands. Oh, wonderful. So they've got out there. Well done to James and the team. They put up 130 posters, eh? 130. Well done. Let's give them a round of applause. And all those who helped him. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Thank you for being here. We can all go home. Stephen's sermon, beautiful worship. Thank you to the worship guys, to Dave and Rubs and all the other guys. The worship here is amazing. It really, really is. It's touched my heart like no worship has ever touched my heart before. And I'm not just saying that lightly. Sorry, what? No, I don't need lights on. It's okay. It's okay. I am. He asked who's leading the church, and I informed him I am. Okay. I just want to rehash ever so briefly about why I'm standing here. So I actually just heard a little Joseph Prince clip that we're going to play for you. And I said to Steve, I'll just watch this little clip that, you know, he sends every now and again. You might have even seen it on Faith. And I said, don't you want to play it for the church on Sunday morning? So he says to me, no, we'll do it Sunday night. So then I heard I was preaching Sunday night. So I'm like, okay. But the clip actually ties in very much with what is in my heart. And who was here when I spoke on quartz and quark stars and stranglets? I'm just going to quickly ask Andy to put up a picture for me of a quark star. No, that's a stranglet. There's a quark star. Okay, it looks like a beautiful eye with lots and lots and lots of different colors. And then go back to the stranglet. And then a stranglet is what makes up a quark star. Okay, and a quark star, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those are made up into an atom. So they've now dissected the atom down into quark stars, a beautiful colored thing, and into stranglets. And what they've discovered is that these quark stars and these stranglets are able to create and to destroy, but they respond to vibration, to sound, and to noise. I recently also heard that people that are sick, and this is in a secular environment, if they expose them to a certain tone of music, their bodies begin to heal. And so that's why, young guys, it's imperative what you listen to. I think it's not the words, it's whatever. It's the music is letting off vibrations into the spirit realm, which is releasing something over your lives. And that's why when we come into here and there's an anointing and a presence of God, it's the worship that is releasing the presence of God in the spirit realm. Why doesn't it just happen anywhere? It's because presences, evil, good, respond to vibrations, to sound, and they create an atmosphere. So when I listened to this little clip by Joseph Prince, I just thought, it's just so much in line because everything I'm reading, I'm just seeing it through the lenses of what we say and do and how we create our lives. So I just want to say, I hope, is there anybody here who heard my original teaching on quark stars and stranglers? No, who's actually found themselves second-guessing what they're singing and what they're saying? Anybody here? Oh, okay, I'll preach it again. Okay. And the whole thing about speaking is we all know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And it's speaking God's word into our lives. I heard Creflo Dollar say this, faith is how good we believe God to be. Faith is how good we believe God to be. I mean, it's very, very profound. So we have to go back to our belief system of God. Because if we don't have a solid belief system of the goodness of our God and how good we believe God to be, it doesn't matter how much we know and how much we need to say the good things in order for our lives to be wonderful. Because the minute things go wrong, we go, oh God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you punishing me? What have I done? Where have I fallen short? What sin have I committed? And you start releasing a whole lot of negativity over your life and into the relationship that you have with your Creator. So it's very, very important that faith is triggered by our concept, our perception of how good we believe God to be. Now, our belief system is very, very important. Just a little illustration is we were in East London and we were chatting to the pastor. They become an amazing grace church there as well. And one of the ladies in the church who's had a revelation of grace and the goodness of God was, she spoke to Gav and she just said, you know, when I used to tithe, before I tithed, I'd vomit because I knew how hard the month ahead of me was going to be. And I just wonder what her perception of God must have been, that she would tithe feeling that way. Did she really believe God was going to unleash a curse and the devourer out on her life? What was it that forced her? What was it that made her tithe under those circumstances that were so awful? Whereas the scripture says God loves a cheerful giver, not a tearful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. So what happens is when we fall into the law, we start to give out under the law, and the law kills and it destroys the life of the seed that you're sowing, because Satan does not want your harvest to grow up and come back to you. And God cannot bless you when you, well, he can, but he chooses to use the way he's created the world to be. As you sow, you will reap. So as she sows like that, what is that woman going to reap? And so it's imperative that we have an understanding of how good our God is. There's also that other scripture where it says that faith is more precious than gold. And I was just thinking about it where it says that we have been purified like gold. And yet the scripture says that faith is more precious than that, which means faith can buy you gold, not only in the spirit realm, but in the natural as well, because it's more precious. A more precious commodity in the eyes of God than gold is your faith. And so how do I know if we've got faith? We all have faith. And that our faith is our perception of God. That is our faith level. What we believe God to be is what we're going to have faith for. When I was a young girl, I grew up in a Catholic church. He was knocking my heritage, my roots. Okay. And I believed that if I went to confession, God was happy. If I didn't go to confession, God was mad. And I had to watch out. If I did a good deed, God was happy. If I did a bad deed, God was mad. So that was God. He was just there watching over Janet Wheeler's or Janet Reynolds, I was, my comings and my goings. And my belief system was only if I could be a Mother Teresa could I ever make God happy. If only I could go into the monastery and become a nun, then could I make God happy. And that's basically what it is. And everything else was considered a compromise. You'd get to heaven because you were a Catholic, so shut up. But you were a compromised Catholic because you didn't give your all to your faith. So when I got born again, I went on an adventure and a journey of discovery. A discovery of Jesus and a discovery of the Holy Spirit. All so exciting, hey? Who's been recently born again? Yes, it's such an exciting journey. It's like, oh, wow, he wants to do this with me. And, oh, wow, I can feel him. And it's just the most amazing thing. And, oh, Jesus loves me so much. It's like, it's such an overwhelming thing. It really is. I mean, that's how I felt. I mean, like, I don't know if you had the same thing, but I was like, wow, Jesus loves me. So it was a whole discovery of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But you know what? The Father was something else, God the Father. So I kind of put him on the back burner. After all, Jesus understood me. He came to earth. He stayed here. He understands me. He died for my sins. He understands me. So the Father took a back seat in my walk with God, or my Christian life. And it was because I didn't have a good concept of God. Although my faith and my belief system had come into a place of I'm born again, my concept of of God was, I'm not quite sure if he's still, is he happy or is he mad? Is he sad? Is he glad? So you work hard in the church and quickly try and lead some people to Christ and you feel so relieved because I've made God glad. Or I have a huge fight with Steve and I tell him he's an idiot. And I tell Rain he's an idiot and I wish I'd never had children. And, I've made God mad. Now he can't bless me. Oh, no. So I've got to go back and rectify that whole situation because I really, really want a book in the system of God's favor. Now, the problem is, I've heard people say that this, our perspective is our reality. Our perspective is our reality, but is our perspective of God wrong? Because if your perspective of God is wrong, you're not going to say the right things into your life, over the lives of your loved ones. You're not going to have the right faith. You are, because you're going to believe God is a schizophrenic God who's happy, mad, sad, glad. And he can only do that you've actually allowed him to do because through your behavior. My behavior lets God be a good God or a bad God. Hello? Who am I to think that I can control the God who created this universe by my behavior? So it's like your belief system, you have to get your perspective of God correct. And the problem with believing a lie is the lie becomes our reality. And it comes out of our mouths. And when it comes out of our mouths, it's a powerful weapon in Satan's hand to destroy your life. Or it's a powerful weapon in the spirit realm to create a life. So what we say is what we get. We've all heard that from when we were little kids. It's just because people that have done the route round and round have seen that over and over again. Oh, they always said they were going to die when they were 50. Oh, they always said they were going to... I mean, hello, it's like you don't have to get a degree to know that what we say is what we're going to get. And we actually see it over and over and over again. And you actually see families that living under a curse because they're perpetuating a curse because they're living in the fear of loss. I'm sure we all know families like that. And you think, what the heck went wrong with that family? Was their father a Freemason? I mean, that's how we think as Christians because that's how we were taught. But it all goes down to our personal revelation of who God the Father is. So hearing and believing correctly is not a suggestion. It's a matter of life or death for you and your family and your church. We have to believe in the finished work of the cross. We have to believe in healing, prosperity. I mean, if you want to be poor, I'm happy to let you be poor. But I don't want to be poor. We have to believe that God is a good God. Why is it that when we see somebody in poverty, it repulses us? Why? It's because we know that that's not God's perfect will for mankind. We have to believe in wholeness, a whole person who's not walking with broken wings anymore, that God can take a person and cause them to fly. We have to believe that because that's what the Bible says. We have to believe that the presence of God is mine. It's for me. It's for you. We have to believe it. If you don't believe it, you're not going to experience it. We have to believe that we have been fully sanctified, righteous. We have to believe in the great exchange. My sin for his righteousness. That is the great exchange. We have to believe that God sees us as holy. Do you know that God cannot live inside of you unless you are holy? 100% holy. We see that in the Old Testament that if the priests went into the presence of God and they were unholy, they fell down dead. But now, and God wants to come and live in his creation. Remember David spoke about building a temple and a tabernacle. And it's just when throughout the Old Testament as you read, you see him speaking about a tabernacle, but he was speaking about a human temple, a holy temple that a holy God could come and live inside of. And that couldn't happen to us without the great exchange, his righteousness, his holiness for my sinfulness. We have to believe it. I need to believe that there's a covenant that God has made with me, that it doesn't matter what I do. I have to believe it because God says, I am not a liar. My yes is my yes. And he's actually saying there, you know, I'm not going to make a covenant with you. You're not going to make a covenant with me. He says in the scripture, he says, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Why? Because I can break my side of the deal. And he says, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and it doesn't matter what happens, I'm sticking to my guns. I'm in covenant with you, girl and boys and beautiful people. And it doesn't matter what you do, God is in covenant with you. I mean, it's huge. When somebody's in covenant with you, it means they're going to provide for you. They're going to protect you. They're going to do whatever they have in their power to look after you. Just think about what God has. You're in covenant with that God. And he's keeping his end of the deal. The only thing that we've got that is different to that is our human will, where we can choose to do what we want to do. And God didn't want us to be robots. Because, hello, I mean, how many of you, I mean, sometimes when you'd like your kids to be robots. But it's so beautiful when Rand comes and puts his arms around me and says, I can see Jesus in you. And I didn't program him to come and say that to me. Hey? I mean, if I said, okay, and he comes and he does it, I feel good. But what, how beautiful is it when you go to Jesus, to your Father, and you say to him, I love you. And he didn't program you to do it. I can honestly say, since I've understood the grace message, when I think about God the Father, my heart skips a beat. It's like I actually have to take a breath when I just think of how much he loves me. And I really, up until I understood grace, I didn't really believe that he was so madly in love with me. And I remember being very jealous of a friend of mine, Michelle Sampson Sewell, because she had this incredible love relationship with God. And I'm thinking, how the heck does she get it right? I still don't know, but I was like so jealous of that. And now I can honestly say that I'm in a love relationship with my dad. It's just the most beautiful thing, but it comes out of knowing how much he loves me. I think that's why I'm sometimes so badly behaved in church now. It's for so many years I tried to do the correct thing as a pastor's wife. Seriously, you don't know. Shame Rand has that pressure of being a PK, pastor's kid. But as a pastor's wife, I mean, like I'd go to these conferences, or we used to be part of NCMI, and there were all these little prissy pastor's wives. And they all nod at the right time and smile at the right time. And they never shout at their husband or say no too loudly. They know how to stir their tea 3 times to the right and 2 times to the left. And I so, so wanted to be like them. I did. Everything inside of me was, I have to be like that in order to be a pastor's wife. I mean, what was I thinking? And I think that's why sometimes I misbehave now, because I really feel like I've been let out of jail. You know? I can enjoy God. We just look at, you know, like we just got to get so excited about God's word. You know, Joseph Prince often just uses this term, beholding Jesus. And, you know, when you're beholding Jesus, you're actually beholding the entirety of the word of God. Because the Bible says in Revelations that Jesus is summed up in the word of God. And when you behold him, you're going to become like him. You're going to be drawn closer to him. He's going to reveal the daddy to you. He's going to do everything, but he won't force you. Like, as I say, like, I love Jesus, but the Father was another thing, you know. I was a little nervous around him, and I can honestly say that's gone. But just back to the power of our words. Like, I love that where Jesus sent his word and the servant was healed. He just sent his word. He didn't actually physically go there. And, you know, the scripture says, as Christ is, so are we. We can send words into the spirit realm and create something that we could have never imagined. We can create healings. We can create wealth. We can create whatever you believe in your heart, the scripture says, is going to become a part of your life, because it's going to come out of your mouth. Just a little testimony there, because I had a partial revelation of this years ago. And what, how's my time going? I'm not going to be much longer. I had a partial revelation of this years ago. I was working, doing sales in a company. And some of you might have heard it before. And there must have been about 40, 50 odd sales reps throughout the country. And every month they would put up the names of the reps that had come, made the most money, from the first right down to the last. Okay. And it was like, where did you fall? You know, you go and you compare, and how were my sales? And I remember the first year, I mean, like, if anybody's in sales, it takes at least 3 to 4 months to get going, to actually start building up a clientele. They say people only start buying from you after they've met you for the third time. So if any of you are in sales, just know that. People want to see you at least 3 times before they're going to trust you enough to buy from you. So you've got to be going, hello, hello, hello. And all of a sudden they go, okay, this person's here. They're in my life. I might be able to use them. But if they see you once and you're gone, they're not going to come back to you. Just a little bit of advice there. Okay. And my name used to be sort of like on the lower lot of this list. And I was like, hey, man, this is just not cool. Here I am, I'm a Christian, and these girls that are using the F word and the ish word and all those words are like, they're just soaring, like right up at the top, making big bucks. And I'm like, no, that's not right. And I just felt God said to me, ask me to bless you, Jan. I said, okay. And I went to Steve, I said, I feel God said I must ask him to bless me. So I used to use my driving time as a time to ask God to bless me. And so all the way onto work, God bless me because I'm your child and you said that I'm not going to be the tail, but I'm going to be the head. And you're going to store up the wealth of the heathen for the righteous. And any scripture I could think about that was pertaining to the blessing of God on my life, I declared it on the way to work every single day. And I was really like a robot. Then you go back and you look at the list, where did I come? You kind of know what money you're bringing in because, I mean, we used to get commissions, so we were always adding our figures. See how much we're going to make. And you kind of know where you are, but it was amazing. It was a slow climb to the top. But by the end of that year, I was a top sales rep in the country. I'd won a trip overseas for bringing in sales. The following year, the same happened. And it was just declaring and releasing God's favor into my life. It was just a snippet of the revelation. I lost it when I came into the ministry because I'm like, how do you say, God bless me, make me prosperous, make me rich in the ministry? No, I can do it now, but I couldn't do it 4 years ago. Now I know God wants to bless us. So what is important? It's our belief system. It's our view of God the Father. It's our view of what I believe he wants my life to look like. My understanding of the finished work of Jesus. Do I still believe he loves me? Or do I play the game, he loves me not? I need to know and believe that there are no movie shows in heaven. That there's no movie shows in heaven. There might be movies. I mean, for Dave, who loves a movie, and Rain and Steve, I mean, who loves movies? There might be movies there. Who knows? Okay. But I'm talking about the movie show where Janet Wheeler was unveiled. And only the good Christians could sit and eat popcorn and drink Coca-Cola and view my shortcomings that were going to be shattered from the rooftop. I don't know where we get that from. Actually, we got it from the little chiclet booklets. Who read the chiclet booklets? We got it from that our sins were going to be shouted out. And I was always in fear that the Highway Christian congregation was going to attend Janet's unveiling. And you are going to know all the bad things I did. That show is not going to happen. We have to believe that we are brand new creations in God. And we've got to believe that God is madly in love with us so that we can change our worlds. We're just going to watch this DVD if we can get that going, Andy. This was what got me preaching today. And basically it's based on Romans 10 verse 6, where it says, the righteousness of faith speaks.
Start saying, Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my holiness. Don't try. Trust. Pastor Prince, I got very bad habits. I can't help it. I feel all this emotion. Say, Christ is my holiness. Even in the midst of your anger and impatience, say, Christ is my holiness. Don't have to scream it. Just believe and speak it. Are you listening, church? You see, there are two kinds of righteousness. There's one kind by performance. In Romans 10, it says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, watch this. Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. In other words, there's a righteousness by the law. based on what? Doing, performing. But the other righteousness which God, Christ came to give us, the righteousness of faith speaks. All right? It speaks what? It tells you don't have to go up to heaven to bring Christ down at the, from the Father's right hand. You don't have to go back 2,000 years ago in a time machine to be where Christ was. Drop down all the way. What does it say? Verse 8, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Just speak what you believe in your heart. When fear comes, say, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. When the world says you can't do it, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say it. Say it in spite of what you feel. Say it. It is first in your mouth. The word is near you in your mouth first, then in your heart. Even when you say it, you don't believe it in your heart. Keep on saying it, because as long as you put it in your mouth, it will go into your heart. And then it will come out in your mouth again. Amen. Are you learning, church? The devil is so afraid of you picking this up, of all the things that you learn. He doesn't want you to learn faith. He will tell you, learn holiness as much as you can, but it's performance holiness. And performance holiness, doing and speaking are antithesis. Give me the Galatians. Galatians says this, yet the law is based on what? The man who does them, performs them. All right? You can say this, the law is not of faith. You can say, doing is not of faith. But the law says what? The man who does them, performs them, shall live by them. In other words, it's a life of performance. It's a life of working. It's a life of speaking. Hey, I'm not referring to your career. If any will not work, neither should he eat. Okay? I'm talking about performing. All right? To get a miracle. Performing. To get a blessing. Performing. To get God's acceptance. God is saying, performance is not the righteousness I want. I want the speaking righteousness. I want you to believe and speak. And this is what God said to me last night. You can write this down. I'm telling you, I wrote it down in my notebook. It's so precious. God says, all right, as long as you are doing or performing, as long as you are doing, the devil is winning. Then he said, as long as you are speaking, the devil is losing. I repeat, as long as you are doing, the devil is winning. As long as you are speaking, the devil is losing. That's why he will have you think, well, I've done so much, like the prodigal son's brother. I've done so much for you, Father. I never get anything good from you. Amen. He's focused on his doing. And yet God gives to the one who speaks faith. The woman with the issue of blood. She says, if I touch his clothes, I shall be well. She spoke it before she touched it. That's all is needed. Jesus turned and says, your faith made you well. Are you listening, church? The law is not of faith, it's antithesis. Listen, it's like these two hands. Speaking, doing. The more you do, the less you speak. This Old Testament. God's way is what? Speak, 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 more and more. Don't try to get a thing by performance. Speak it. I believe this week I'll be at the right place at the right time. Well, how do you know? I speak it. I know. Are you with me? God said something else to me yesterday. And this one is a parable. You can look at your life and the life around you, okay? It's illustrated everywhere. God said this to me. The higher you go up in rank, the more you speak and the less you do. Isn't it true? A CEO only have to speak, give directive, people do. Do you know who you are, child of God? You are seated on Jesus' throne. You are seated on Christ's throne. You are a king and a priest. In the eyes of God, we have such small ambitions. We want to be a multi-millionaire. God says, give up your small ambitions. You want so much gold. We walk on gold in heaven. God's saying, I've called you to be a king. You are seated with Christ on his throne. Be careful what you say. So when we say to you, all right, partake of the communion. It's not just the communion per se. The pastor down here says, confess and all that. Yeah, okay, you know, I don't have to follow everything, you know, just take. It doesn't work. It doesn't work by osmosis. Just because you attend a good church, you know, any more than you going to McDonald's make you a Big Mac. Doesn't happen that way. All right? You gotta mix faith in your communion. When you take communion, all right, you gotta say, Lord, I thank you your body was broken so that my body is healed. By your stripes, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. My body is renewed. I'm young again. And that's why we young people, we shout when the message has been preached. We say, amen, hallelujah. We're not like some people like 30, 40 already. All right? We young people, amen, we are full of life. Amen. And we'll be like this until Jesus comes. Hallelujah.
Wow. Good stuff. With your heart, you believe. With your mouth, you confess. You ready to go and do some speaking this week? Are you ready to go out and speak truth? Did I get it wrong? What did I say? Well, what your heart believes, your mouth will speak. And what your mouth speaks, your heart will believe. Yeah. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever you put on the inside is going to come out. So that's why we need to put the good stuff inside, and that's what's going to come out. And when it comes out, it changes the world. Changes your world. Our world needs some changing. Your world needs. My world needs some changing. Amen. Thanks, Jan, to encourage us again from your story. And be blessed. I just want to say that in the kitchen, right now as we speak, there's a brew of chakalaka. It's a mixture of onion, tomato, garlic, and special herbs whose recipe Pia can't give away. And with some puri, put on a roll, thoroughly enjoy before you go home tonight. So, be blessed. Have a fantastic week. Thanks again, Jan.